Welcome to today's eWednesday chat. My name is Heidi Richards-Mooney, and I will be your host today. Today's topic is Click Here, Managing Your Online Presence, Power, and Impact with J.J. DiGeronimo. Let me tell you a little bit about J.J. J.J. DiGeronimo is recognized for her success as an entrepreneur, technology executive, author, wife, and mother. J.J. has worked with emerging technologies for over 20 years, much of that time in Silicon Valley with VMware, Inktomi, and Accenture. J.J. has immersed herself in leadership positions in a variety of technical and business roles that leverage her technical degree. Throughout her career, J.J. has interviewed hundreds of successful women. She has organized and packaged her research to empower women in STEM globally through keynotes, workshops, panels, and webinars. Her book, The Working Woman's GPS, and her blog, Purposeful Woman, are go-to resources for women. With a trajectory of success, J.J. proves you can have it all. In February of 2006, Entrepreneur Magazine featured her first company as a resource for small businesses. In 2007, she received an Innovative Award for Small Business Network. In 2008, she launched Tech Savvy Women that led to the creation in 2011 of Purposeful Woman, and in 2012, Journey Charms. Welcome, J.J.
Thank you so much, Heidi. I'm so glad to be here today. Thank you.
And I am just delighted because I've been kind of following you online for a few years now, and I remember stumbling upon Tech Savvy Women a few years ago. And so it's really a thrill for me to have you with us today. So I'd like to just jump right in and ask you your first question. J.J., tell us, how did you get started in technology and doing business online?
So I started in technology in the early 90s, really based on a professor that suggested I go into a career that really was up and coming back in the early 90s. And I just had a great mentor early on that really encouraged me to dive deep into the technical. And I started my career as a Cisco router and Cisco router admin and programmer. And I have evolved as the technology has advanced over the last almost 20 years.
Well, obviously, you've stayed on top of it and have, in fact, not only embraced it yourself, I see so many ways that you are helping others to also embrace it and not be afraid of it. So I think that's just wonderful, and thank you for all you're doing to make a difference in that space. It's really great.
Well, thank you. And I really, you mentioned about the online, and I really leverage online news articles, groups, and people to stay abreast of the technology, and I know we'll dive into that today.
Absolutely. In fact, that's probably the major part of what this whole topic is about. So since it is about managing your online presence, power, and impact, let's get going. Let's begin first with social media. Tell us a little bit about how you use it to enhance your business.
I dabbled in it for a few years. I obviously have a profile on several of the social media sites. But for my professional journey, I really focus on LinkedIn primarily. I use some business Facebook page activities on Facebook. I've done some on Pinterest. I just started really using Google+. For chats and Google Hangouts, and I really have found new ways to communicate with people as times are changing. Many people are working from home, and there's so much more content today than there was just 3 years ago.
Oh, boy, you're not kidding. In fact, there's so much content, people can get overwhelmed, and you know how that wonderful Google search that we do to find information. Now there's so much information. I think the biggest challenge is figuring out which ones you want to really dive into once you find like all the searches. Even the first page can be overwhelming, and most people probably don't get past the first page anyway. But it's just it's staggering, I think. So LinkedIn is your favorite social network, and why would you say LinkedIn? It sounds to me like LinkedIn for professional use is your favorite social network. And why would you say that is? What are some of the benefits of being really active on LinkedIn?
So definitely. So I think that depending on what you're trying to accomplish in your career, you really should go where people are that are where you want to be. And you should use platforms that will help catapult you to your next professional step. And I was just searching last week. LinkedIn has over 200 million members, and about 58 million of them do their professional searches online, not to mention all of the professional groups and postings. And so I just find it as a really great one-stop shop resource for what I'm trying to accomplish, which is to gain knowledge, establish and maintain connections, bring similar groups of people together, and enhance my professional brand. And for those four particular areas, I find that LinkedIn is likely my primary social media. However, I mentioned I do stuff on Google+. Yesterday I had a Twitter chat, an organized Twitter chat for 1 hour with a series of analysts and experts around cloud. And then I've also done things with Facebook. So it really, I try to use the platform that makes sense on the activity that I'm trying to accomplish.
So let's talk, I want to talk just a little bit more about LinkedIn, and then I think I would definitely like to get some feedback from you on Google+. But so how do you use LinkedIn? I mean, do you post to your wall? Do you post to groups? Do you, you know, I know they've done away with the events pages, which is such a shame because I used it a lot, and I found that it was very good for driving, you know, traffic and attendees to all of our virtual events. So darn if they didn't get rid of that. But it, all the other tools are still wonderful. So what are the things that you use most when you're on LinkedIn?
So I initially just had a LinkedIn profile, and I would think the first step that you want to do is make sure your profile is complete. Oftentimes people quit right before they really get 100% of their profile, so that if you don't have references on your profile or you don't have your most current work activities on there, I think it's great to get your profile 100%. The next thing I did is I started to participate in groups on LinkedIn, things that either interest me or that I'm striving to accomplish, or if I didn't find it, I actually created a group. So let me give you some examples. So when I was writing my book, I had some very specific questions about layout, publishing, marketing, and so during that time, I actually joined several groups around authors, publishing, agents, to really understand what's happening in the marketplace, what are people talking about, and get some of the questions I needed answered. Then as I moved into, you know, virtualization, to cloud, to now software-defined data center, I've continued to stay abreast of conversations happening on LinkedIn, and I joined associated groups around those activities. And then there were some activities that I wanted to create my own group. And two ways that I really leveraged LinkedIn groups is, one, I had at one point I was in a selling role, and I had hundreds of customers. And oftentimes I would have to send them the same email about an event or the same email about a promotion or maybe a new reference. And so what I did is I created a group for all of my customers in the area in which I live, and I had hundreds of customers, and so I created a group that all my customers could connect together. This is really easy to do when you have a great product and you have you're leading in the industry in a particular area. So I created a group called Cleveland Virtualization Professionals, and as I moved from meeting to meeting, I told my customers, you know, join this group. I post information and updates. And it was great because when they asked for references or wanted to know which applications different customers were virtualizing, I told them to go to this group and post their question. And so it really minimized the amount of admin work I was doing because I had an organized group of like people that I could post information one time and even interconnect them. From that group, a lot of folks have found jobs and really moved through different certifications. Another group I created was for tech-savvy women. So there's a group of women here in Northeast Ohio. Some are my competition, some are my friends, some are women I didn't even know. And I started a group of tech-savvy women here in Northeast Ohio that is almost about 800 members now. And then that evolved into a group at VMware called Women of Purpose. And through these activities, I was able to elevate my brand because I started the groups and because I started this conversation around among like people, I actually was able to elevate myself in both areas, both cloud as well as women in technology. And these are things that took a few minutes each day right as I was working. I could click on a LinkedIn, do a couple activities, and they both have been wildly successful, not only for the connections of people within the group, but the elevation of my brand and the ability to minimize my tasks every day by able to post things one time.
I think what you just said is probably one of the most brilliant things that anybody has ever said, and I think hopefully that the listeners will get that, is the fact that you started a group for your customers, and your customers, first of all, being able to interact with other customers who are using your product has got to be a brilliant business move, because now people are able to talk to one another. If they've got an issue, you think about how I always go to the Apple example or any example in technology, but you know how Apple's got all these wonderful groups out there, and people help each other. You don't even have to go to the Apple store. The users know more about it sometimes than, well, maybe not. Apple's probably not a good example because everybody, if you go into the Apple store, they know everything. But the users can help each other so much in just making transitions and making things easier. It's just amazing. So that's probably one of the best pieces of advice I've heard in a long time. Thanks, JJ. And I'm going to have to join some of your groups now, especially Tech Savvy Women. I don't think I'm connected with you there. So I definitely will do that today. That's wonderful about LinkedIn, and I agree with you about the 100, completing the profile 100%. So often we go on these sites, and not just LinkedIn, but LinkedIn is probably the best example because it shows you when your profile is 100% complete, which is really nice because you know how far you have left and how much more you have to do. So it kind of gives you an idea of how much more time it's going to take. Some of these sites you go page to page to page, you think you're never going to get done. And then Facebook, you mentioned about being involved in groups, and I would imagine it's probably similar, is it not, as far as the groups that you're involved in on Facebook?
Yeah, so some of the groups are similar. You know, I have other personal things I do on Facebook, but some of the professional things I do, because people have a variety of platforms they like to use, we have a similar group, Tech Savvy Women. As well as I run Purposeful Woman, which I have a blog. I run my Purposeful Woman is more successful on Facebook than it is on LinkedIn. Not sure why, but that seems to be the preferred platform, is the fan book page for Purposeful Woman on Facebook. Even though I do have one on LinkedIn, it just seems that people like to share pictures and like to post links, and it just seems that they really seem to take to the Facebook fan page. So I think the lesson is that you need to understand your network and what you're trying to accomplish and what your viewers want to see from you, and then picking the platform that makes sense.
So Google Plus, you mentioned that you're on Google Hangouts and you've done a little bit on Google Plus. What's been the most surprising thing that you've learned about Google Plus that you think is going to help you, say, in the future or has helped you?
I think how easy it is. I cannot believe how easy it is.
Yeah, I would definitely agree. And I think people are afraid of it because they're thinking, oh, my God, one more social network. But I read a really interesting report. Either it was Entrepreneur, Fast Company, Success, or one of those magazines. But I get them all digitally and physically. And I got this wonderful email, and it was talking about if you want to be indexed by Google and you're not on Google Plus, what the heck is the matter with you? Because Google is Google Plus, and it just, made so much sense. Now, I've always had a profile, but I've really not done much with Google Plus. So I went over there right away, fixed my profile, created a group, you know, and pretty much have ignored it since then. So I need to get busy on that. But what I'm fascinated with is the Google Hangouts, because I hear that those are just wonderful for creating, you know, events, virtual events that people can really, you know, dive into. So we'll see how that goes.
Yeah, I was just practicing one before I jumped on here. We're doing an event next week on Software Defined Data Center. And we were just practicing with some analysts and some other thought leaders in the industry, and all five of us could see each other. We have a chat window, and it's just great because people who come on can see the entire panel of people. And you can you have a moderator, and you go through the questions, but it's really great because you can see all five faces and see where they're working from, and it makes it a really interactive virtual environment.
And I understand that you can even record it and upload it right to YouTube and all of that, which is makes it even more
great.
Impactful.
Yeah, it's just great.
Yeah. So let's talk about...
Yesterday we did a... I've been very busy this week on social media. Yesterday we did a Twitter chat. So we had a common hashtag, and we basically identified 10 people, a few that worked for our company, a few in the industry that are known analysts, and a few customers. And for 1 hour, we had a general theme or agenda that we were going to talk about, and we went from question to question. We had an interactive conversation among the 10 participants. And if you use TweetDeck, which is a plug-in to Twitter, you can actually put in your hashtag. So let's just say it's hashtag Purposeful Woman. And you can see all the comments posted on Twitter just around those hashtags. So you can see a common thread of conversation happening within the hour that you can retweet, you can reply to, you can post your own. And it really was a tremendous activity that we had so much insight and have actually written up in a couple tech rags today about it. So there's just some really neat things you can do with these social media platforms to gain attention, build awareness, and expand your brand.
Absolutely. And as you said earlier, they all have a little bit different purpose, and when you're using them, you want to pick the one that's going to best suit what you need to accomplish. So I think that that's really good advice. So, JJ, let's talk about creating and posting the right content, because I think, you know, this all leads into content. You know, you're using all these social media sites, and besides the obvious, you know, proper grammar and spelling and content that is, you know, proper to the audience, for instance, G-rated, what are the things should we keep in mind when we're sharing information online?
Well, I think the thing that would be most powerful for the listeners is understanding what you're trying to get out of the interaction. So some people are looking for a new position. Some are looking to advance their knowledge in a particular area. Some people are building something from scratch. Whatever your known initiative is, whatever you're trying to work towards, stay consistent within that particular thread so that you can build momentum. Because all of these social media sites have search engine optimization, and if you're looking for a particular advancement, it's good to stay in a common track or thread. And so my two common tracks are empowering high-impact women and next-generation technology for the data center. And so those are the two that I always post about, I always comment on, or build groups around, and so that I am establishing a known entity for myself. And so I think we're going to provide a free guide for women here at the end, and this will really help you define what are your personal and professional goals and how can you leverage social media to do that. And one of the tricks in there is to stay consistent on message.
Excellent. And you're absolutely right. And I see so many people who they post like so many different things, and on all of them, not just Facebook, which Facebook is probably more designed for, you know, a hodgepodge of information. It doesn't necessarily mean you have to always stay on one topic. But I found that sometimes you don't even know what the heck a person does because they're all over the place. So I think that's
right.
True. Staying consistent is very important. Anything else?
I would say that be authentic. I think that's one of the things that really helps. And when I say that is, you know, people, you know, you see some people like, oh, I'm here, and I'm here, and I'm here, and I'm doing this. And it's really being true to yourself. It's what do you want out there about yourself, being true to yourself, being authentic to your viewers, and ensuring that you're connecting with the people that are really going to help you move through your professional journey. I think, you know, a lot of people get so caught up in so many activities and so many different posts, and I really think that I always tell women, like, really be thinking thoroughly about what you're going to post, why you're posting it, and why you think it matters. That's one. And then the other thing is I'm always, you know, if there's the great thing about social media is that you can get to know anybody that you want. People that were difficult to get a hold of or you weren't really sure which people ran which projects or had what role in an organization, you can almost get access to anybody you want today through social media. So being respectful in your request, but also being, you know, stepping outside of your comfort zone and really asking for a meeting or a conference call. When I was writing my book, I had asked a couple people that are pretty well-known authors if they could spend 30 minutes talking to me about how they market their book and how they got to their audience of choice, and I could not believe the overwhelming response and support that I received and calls that with people that I honestly wasn't even sure they would say yes. And I think social media is just an awesome way to connect with people if you do it authentically. You share why you want to be connected. I think leveraging your network to get to people that you think will help and advance your journey is a really critical piece of the benefits of social media, specifically with LinkedIn.
Absolutely, and I agree with you. You know, you have to be, and you don't have to be afraid, because I can remember years ago I would just, you know, email or call people because it's the only two real forms we had before Facebook and all the others. And people were, even back then, very cordial and willing to help, but I find even more so now because it's so easy to, you know, to find someone. You can find anybody you want, and you know whether they'll respond or not is another story. And I guess it depends on, you know, what you want from them. You know, if you're a, you know, stalking fan, nobody's going to bother with you. But if you're sincerely interested in, you know, learning from someone, most of the really great people in any industry want to share what they know because they really want to make the industry better. So, you know, saying that it is. I know it's helped me with my business and with women in e-commerce. And you know, I've met and talked to, gosh, just about every major player in internet marketing over the past 11 years, just because I wasn't afraid to go out and ask. I figured, what's the worst that can happen? They say no, or they ignore me. And my favorite phrase is next. You know, so people just don't have to be afraid anymore, I don't think. Anything else you'd like to add to that?
I think I'd just like to circle back on just the connections. I think the one other thing that's really important is that you leverage your network. I think, you know, all these people accept these connections and never really leverage the network that they have through social media. And whether you have a question, a project, you're trying to hire somebody, you're trying to get to connect with somebody, this is one of the major benefits of social media, is getting the help you need when you need it. And don't be afraid to post and ask and request things that you need from people you think that can get you connected or can provide the data that you're looking for. People really enjoy interacting through these social media platforms, and many of us rely heavily on email, and I would encourage you to send some messages through these social platforms with requests or offers or thoughts. You'd just be amazed at the responses that you get from these platforms by using their messaging capabilities.
Absolutely. Great advice. So JJ, what are some of the tools that you use to manage your online presence? I'm talking about, you know, time management, data management, whatever you'd like to share that
Great.
You think our listeners would be interested
in. That's a good question. So one of the things that I do three times a week is on my Outlook calendar. I'm still a PC user. On my Outlook calendar, I put a reminder at 8:30 in the morning three times a week to post on social media, both for cloud and software-defined data center as well as Purposeful Woman. It's a reminder for me, and if you're like me, I will not dismiss my actions or my to-do list until I actually get them done. So even if I postpone it by 2 hours, I make sure that I post. And the benefit of that is that within these defined social platforms, you get great rankings, as well as in Google, you get great rankings if you post often. And like I said before, you've got to post against a common theme. And so that's one of the things I do often. I don't generally use an organized platform that goes across all social. I do go into every social platform individually and see what's going on first for the day and for the month. I've had many people, I know we'll talk about this, but post things that maybe either go against what's being said in the news, or maybe a big event happening, positive or negative, and it's not aligned with, you know, what's happening in the news highlights of the day. So I always go into social media, check out what's happening before I post, just to be aware. And then, you know, there's tons of platforms to do it, to be organized, but I really am still in the stages where I go into each one. And my primaries are really LinkedIn, Facebook fan page, and my Twitter account, and I have all of my platforms integrated. So many of the settings in many of these platforms, you can integrate your accounts. And so I have two sets of accounts. So for cloud, I have a Twitter account and a LinkedIn page. For Purposeful Woman, I have a Facebook page and a Twitter account. So I have two separate accounts for two separate initiatives. Eventually I may integrate those, but right now I keep both initiatives separate, and then they're all integrated in that particular theme. So once I post on one, it's populated throughout the other social media pages that I have.
Which is wonderful, because then you're still maintaining a presence, and you're staying true to your consistent brand, but you're spending one third the time, which I tell people all the time. I don't like Hootsuite, even though I know it's a great tool. But sometimes, like you said, you can be posting on, you know, putting a bunch of stuff in there to be automatically posted to your sites, and then it's the wrong thing at the wrong time. So it's so true. Another tool I'll mention is Pinterest, because I love Pinterest. Mm-hmm. You just put the pin it button on your computer. Now I have to find out if they have that for Mac, because I'll be upset if they don't. Because I'll go and post something on Pinterest, and then I will, you can click a link to either put it on Facebook and Twitter, or Facebook or Twitter. And sometimes if I really like the quote or whatever it is I put up there on Pinterest, I can link. I do a lot with infographics. So infographics seem to be really hot on Twitter. They seem to get really retweeted quite a bit. And so I love to post them on Pinterest and then have them go up on Twitter. I don't really do too much on the other way with Pinterest and Facebook, because I really like to go over to Facebook and I like to have unique content posted there. But you can do both. So it's nice to know that that option's available, just as what you mentioned, and especially with blogging. So in fact, I'd like to talk to you a little bit about blogging, because I know you have a blog, Purposeful Woman. Do you have more than one?
Yeah, I can definitely tell you about that. I'd love to just know what technology you use for your infographic. Is that stuff that you do yourself, or do you outsource that?
Both. Sometimes I will go on to Fiverr and hire somebody to create an infographic, and I've given what I do is I give them all of the graphics or the images and the words and have them put it together. Usually they'll charge you more than what the $5 is. It depends on how much work is involved. So I've had infographics made for $15, $20, which I can't do it for myself for that, because it takes me an hour. But I do sometimes do my own very simple ones, like my quirky marketing calendar. I did three of them. One was about all the bonuses everybody did. And all I did was basically take all the images from my website and put them on a Word document, made it the right size, which was, I don't know, 8.5 by 75 inches or something. And then I PDF'd it, and then I JPEG'd it. And then, you know, I trimmed it out and made it the pretty colors and the pictures, and it was just wonderful. So I'll use a Word document. I use Adobe Photoshop sometimes. I use PageMaker. It depends on my mood and what I feel like learning, because a lot of these tools I'm not really adept at. So if I have enough time and I want to go in and play around with what they have, I'll do that. And I just posted, and I'm not sure what it's called, but I just posted something on Twitter, so I'll send that to everybody, some of the new tools that you can use to create infographics really quickly. I think there's like 7 of them. I found them on this one. It was a great a link from another blogger who had talked about all the different things you can use. So it's pretty easy to make them. They're just time-consuming. I find it's just, for me, to spend an hour, my time's worth much more than $15 an hour. Unless I have time to play, I usually try to outsource it.
Mm-hmm, that makes sense.
I really love what you said.
Yeah, there's a site I love I use all the time too. It's PicMonkey, P-I-C, Monkey. It's a great way to add text to pictures, to crop pictures, to change colors. I mean, it really is such a cool, cool site.
Oh, wow, I like that.
PicMonkey, P-I-C, Monkey. That's one thing. And the other thing I'm working on now is a series of videos. I'm doing a 10 by 10 video program, which will be released in probably late March, where we're doing 20 frequently asked questions. And so anybody who signs up for the free guide today will get access to those. You'll start to see those pop out too. But it's just a great way to use video. Like sort of something, I have some videos, but I'm really starting to really dabble in videos and putting together marketing programs with video.
Yeah, and videos is really such a wonderful tool for promotion, and Google loves videos, so I always tell my clients, put as many videos as you possibly have time to do, and there's so many great tools out there for using to make inexpensive, even free videos if you want. I use the Animoto video tool, but I have the branded version so that I pay to have the professional version. You can get the free version, and it's just through Camtasia or one of the video editors you can remove the branding, but I find I just rather pay for it. It's like, I don't know, it's so cheap. It's under $100. It's like probably $29 or $39 for a year. And to me, you know, they give you the music, they give you the backgrounds, they give you the templates. It's just so easy. So it depends on what you're going to do. I don't find that really good for when you're doing a video where you're talking to somebody. You really need to be in the camera, you know, and that's a different, totally different animal. But definitely videos are amazing. And, you know, they're so easy to create nowadays. So thanks. What do you use to create your videos? Do you use Camtasia?
I use RealDirector. So I use my iPad and I use RealDirector, because the videos are really conversations with folks that are downloading guides or have currently just attended an event. And so RealDirector for me is just great because it allows you to put a header or a footer or some text on your video. Usually if you have, like I do one take oftentimes, so I don't crop it and edit it. If the video is pretty much ready to go, it's just about putting the bookends on.
So RealDirector, is that a Mac? Is that an Apple program? Yeah, I figured that since you said iPad, so I'll have to look that one up. But I'm sure there's something similar in, I know Snagit works pretty well in a PC, and I have Snagit on my PC, so I think that's another cool tool you can use when you're doing the same thing. So let's talk a little bit about, any other tools you'd like to share before we move on?
No.
We're almost out of time.
Every week I find so many tools. It's so exciting. But, you know, it's how much time do you have? Does it make sense for you to do the work or have someone else do the work? I couldn't agree with you more. I am often using experts to do things that can do them in a fraction of the time that I can do them in. But for my free guides and things that I'm giving away, oftentimes I just put the video together myself and post it just so that it's quick and easy. For things that are for content I'm charging for, I spend more time building those and making sure that they look more professional. So I think you try to understand the project, what the results of the project, and what do you have to align to for that.
Absolutely. And you mentioned, you know, doing some of it yourself. I try to gauge every project I do based upon how much time it's going to take me versus how much time it's going to take me to explain to someone else to do it. If I can do it quicker than trying to show somebody else, I'll do it myself. But if it's a project that's going to take an hour and it might take me 10 minutes to just send them a bunch of files, oh, by all means. You know, I have a wonderful graphics person who works for me. Anytime I need her to do anything, I just send her a bunch of stuff. So she does a lot of my things that I charge money for. But the free things I try to get, you know, if I'm giving away free content, I use a lot of people on Fiverr. I'll find people on Alance and just different wonderful tools online, you know, social or networks online, social networks. You know, I'm building an app right now for my magazine site, and I found a great guy that was referred to me through somebody on Twitter, of all places. And so you just never know. And these people, you know, that's what they do for a living. And like you said, they can do it in a fraction of the time it would take me to try to figure it out and do it. So I don't mind paying for that because my time is just too valuable. Yeah. So what's the best advice, JJ, that you've ever received about managing your online presence?
So I think think like anything you're going to do for your career and for your life is understanding your end state. Where do you want to go? What do you want it to manifest into? And then building themes and threads of conversation that will help you get there. So, for example, when I was in virtualization, I've been with VMware for 7 years. I was a virtualization expert, and 3.5 years ago, cloud really started to gain some momentum, and some of the leaders in IT came out and were talking about cloud. There wasn't a lot of, there weren't very many experts in the company in which I sit every day. And so, one of the things that I did is I said I will be one of the cloud experts for VMware. That is now manifested into cloud and software-defined data center. But how I did that is I leveraged social media heavily to not only understand what cloud was and what it wasn't, but I educated myself on articles that were posted, teleseminars that were offered. I started posting every single day a cloud article in my comments. I really used social media as a tool to help me enable myself for my next journey in my professional career. And in doing so, because I posted every day and had comments and I had a common theme, I elevated my brand through social media that then trickled back into my organization. And so when they search for people through LinkedIn for specific cloud positions, my name kept coming up on the first page. And so by using social media with a very defined goal, I was able to elevate my brand and position myself for sought after positions in my organization. And so when you're thinking about social media and think about posting and building content and socializing conversations, really think about what goals you have in mind. Are you trying to advance your business? Are you trying to get a different position? Are you trying to change to a new company? Understanding where you are and where you want to go is a critical piece to making your social media activities work for you.
And that is probably another great piece of advice. You're absolutely right. So that kind of leads into the next question about examples of content that does not work well for people. Have you had any content that you may have thought would be good and then turned out to backfire, or know any others who other people or have seen this happen on networks where people have posted things that have actually not worked well for them, or they could have done it differently and maybe gotten a better result?
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. One of the things that I really, you know, have learned not to do is I really do not post negative content about my competition in the marketplace. I really refrain from not posting any of that up there. It doesn't really reside well with who I am as a person, and I find that all of my posts have to align to who I am, which is a pretty positive person that's elevating and motivating people generally. You know, I really think that selling things constantly online is also something that doesn't resonate well with people and isn't an effective approach. I think you have to provide value, you have to give it forward, and oftentimes people will come because of that. And so I think being really watching the way people respond to your posts, and you know, oftentimes people will send you a comment like, oh, I liked that article, and sometimes you won't hear comments about other things you post. So trying to watch the feedback you get on your posts, making sure you're doing it aligned with your best self, and really to elevate and motivate other people. And I think to stay away from the real salesy salesperson, because it does come through even through a PC screen.
Absolutely. I totally agree. And it's funny when you mentioned about not posting negative content. You know, it might stir a little controversy at the beginning, but it can really backfire you on a person down the road when someone's looking to hire somebody and they see all these negative, you know, it may be 40 comments, but everything's negative. And who wants to read that anyway? You might want to read it at the moment it's happening, but later on when it's history, no one cares. And then it just really tends to, you know, leave a bad taste in people's mouths. So that's really great, really great advice. I know we've talked a lot about this next question, but maybe if you'd like to share a little bit more about some of the ways our listeners can leverage content to, number one, increase our following, increase engagement, and increase our business. I'm sure you've covered that, but is there anything else you'd like to add to those three things?
You know, I think when you download the guide today, I think it really outlines for most people of really understanding where they are today, what they hope to get, and some tips and tricks of how to get there. Because, you know, time, as we've mentioned, is money, and that you really need to be very focused on your activities and making sure that aligns to your overall and end goals.
Perfect.
And again,
and
the
I
only
think
thing I would mention too is this is more professional. You know, we're not talking about posting your family pictures on Facebook. Our conversation today is very aligned to your professional journey. What you do in your personal time and the platforms that you use, I would just keep them separate from your personal life as much as possible. I'm sorry, separate from your professional life. So I don't mix my LinkedIn customers on my personal Facebook page.
Yes, I agree. So then tell us, and of course, if we do all of these things, we're going to definitely increase our following if that's a goal for people. I know for some people, it's all about the numbers. I know early on in social networks when I've joined them, I just wanted to get a lot of followers. I wanted to get a lot of people, a lot of fans, a lot of this. And then I realized that those people are not necessarily my target audience. So now I've been spending a concerted effort. And I hate to use the word weeding out, but that's pretty much what I've been doing, going through and seeing who am I interacting with really and who am I not. Because the ones I'm not really interacting with, there could be a couple of reasons. One of them is they're not my target market. We don't have anything in common. They're not real people that I would probably engage with other than maybe a nice friendly conversation. So I need to really focus on the people that are we're going to bring value to one another. So I think that's something that, you know, what you just said about not, you know, crossing the line between the personal and the professional is very important for people to know. So I think we've probably covered that pretty well. So, JJ, tell us a little bit about purposeful women. And tech-savvy women, because I think those are two things that our listeners would be interested in learning more about.
Sure. So I'll start with tech-savvy women. Again, tech-savvy women is the organization I started through a LinkedIn group, to really bring together my women customers. My women customers at National City, Progressive, Eaton, and some other local organizations, as well as my partners and competition. It's an organization I started here locally where like women could come together and establish friendships, build their network, learn. We have a whole knowledge series that we do, as well as socialize. And it really has been a great basis for a conversation around the area that brings women together not only to advance their current position, find new positions, or start businesses. And it's been a great platform to bring these women together in various forums. We have an event every quarter, and we have an online conversation that happens almost every day for some activity or another. And that's been great because it's been written up in several local magazines here, and it's helped with the brand aspect. So that's one. Through that, I really learned that I love to elevate and motivate women. And about a year and a half after that, and a year before I released my book, we started Purposeful Woman, which is a blog for women, for high-powered women. And we really talk about all different topics related to working women striving to achieve more in their life. And that has been a great source of content that I've pushed through other blogs. I've held conversations. I've put together white papers. It's just a great content source that I really use in other ways. And we're actually, the site is purely a blog, and we're going to be updating that to a full-fledged website with assets, resources, contacts, all the good stuff that really that women have been asking for the last year and a half. But it aligns to my overall goals is to be a voice for women. And to do that, you really do have to be your own content source in a lot of ways. And that Purposeful Woman is that. And most women that are interested in following Purposeful Woman join the fan book page, Purposeful Woman, where we post articles every week on high-powered women and the tricks and tools to achieve leadership in your life.
So definitely send me the links to any of the open groups that you have, and I'll make sure that our listeners and our members get that so that they can come and join the conversation if it's appropriate for them, if that's okay with you.
Yeah, that'd be great.
Fantastic. So I understand you have a gift for our listeners, so you want to tell us a little bit more about that and how we can get it?
Sure. So we have a social media guide for women that are looking to get more, to advance their brand online. So many of the things that we talked about today are highlighted in this guide. It's a 6-page guide with steps and tools to advance your online brand. And there's two ways that you can access this white paper guide. Is you can text brand, the word brand, B-R-A-N-D, to 5-888-5. So that's 5-888-5. Or you can register online at Purposeful Woman, that's P-U-R-P-O-S-E-F-U-L-W-O-M-A-N. That's woman, singular, purposefulwoman.com/brand, B-R-A-N-D. And you just enter your email address, and you will get access to the file immediately. So it's right away. So as soon as you enter your email address, you'll get a link that you can download the social media guide today.
Fantastic. So what's the best way for our listeners to connect with you online through social media, your website, however you like to, you know, continue any conversations people
sure.
might have?
Right. So that's excellent. So there's a couple ways. So one is through LinkedIn, JJ DiGeronimo, DiGeronimo, through my Facebook fan page, Purposeful Woman, or through purposefulwoman.com, the blog.
Great. Well, JJ, it has been a wonderful experience chatting with you and learning a little bit more about what you do. And be careful, because I'll be watching you now and following you everywhere to learn more from you. I really appreciate that you took time out of your busy day to be with us today. Thank you very much. And thank you for the wonderful free gift. I'll be sure and make sure everybody gets a copy of that or gets the link to get that.
Great. Well, thank you so much for having me. And if anyone has any specific questions, I hope they do reach out to me. I hope they connect through LinkedIn, and we can keep the conversation going.
Wonderful. Thank you, JJ, again. It's been JJ DiGeronimo from Tech Savvy Women and PurposefulWoman.com. This is Heidi Richards-Mooney with Women in E-Commerce saying thank you for being with us today. Bye-bye, everyone. Heidi.